Another feature, you might say, about this five blessing, we don't treat really that they return to the Lord. We don't treat it. If you want to read about returning to the Lord, might be the end of the book of Hosea, when the Lord really pleads with them, return unto me. And then he says, I will heal your backsliding. I will love you freely. But in this book, we have to highlight that God is taking up things on his own. When man fails, brethren, let's face it, if it is up to me, the work of restoration, I will never be restored. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. For what is the reason? For his name's sake. He does the work. Sometimes we think of the work of restoration that I have to do it. When the son came back, Brother Jake earlier reminded us of Luke 15. When he came to himself and he went there, there was one that initiated the restoration. The father ran. The father was the one that covered his neck with kisses. The father is the one who says, let us be merry. The father says, bring the best robe and the fatted calf and put his shoes in his feet. It is all the father. And it's the same thing as far as the portion that we are reading. At least five times in these last few verses, the Lord is saying, I will. And how wonderful for the souls of the saints of God to rest on what God is going to do. Because if it is left to us, it will never happen. But God in his grace, that I think magnifies his grace. That when everything else is failing, God said, I will restore. I will bring them from the land of captivity. I will do all these wonderful things that I want to do so that the glory always belong to him and no one else.
It is true that the... Hello? Orange? Sorry, Kevin. It is true that from Amos's message, there was no real recovery of the nation. And that is very sad. But I'd like to suggest something here. Then why does God reveal these truths that are going to be fulfilled, still yet to be fulfilled? In his love towards us, God often presents what recovery will look like, what restoration will look like. He actually does present it, even if our hearts aren't ready for it. This is what it would be like if you came back to me. If you come back to me, you'll be restored to fellowship with me. You'll begin to see me working in your life. You can't see it right now. You'll begin to have relationships in the right order with other Christians. You'll begin to look at the world the right way. And God may say these things to us as another reason to cause us to repent and return. So I'm just going to suggest that while they did not respond to this message, God sometimes does put out to us, this is how great it's going to be. Look what you're missing. You think your sinfulness is pleasurable? It is only for a short time. I'm going to give you something that is wonderful that you cannot have now if you're far from me. So I'm just going to suggest that. I'm sorry, Kevin, I interrupted.
There may be further help along those lines when you look at verse 10, which you would think if you were writing a story of sin, repentance, and restoration, as Brother John's been saying, we don't see anything, any response from the people here. And you might fit it in right there, something like Israel repented and realized that they have been not following the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. But instead, the last verse we have before you come to the portion we've been reading in verse 11. So in verse 10, you have all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. And this is what these sinners who will die say. The evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And so it's that stubbornness and refusal to repent. So even though we don't see the response from the people, you see what results in not achieving restoration, and that is stubbornly resisting the Lord's chastening. And so we'll see that in Hebrews. If ye endure my chastening, And then in Proverbs 3, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. And I believe that's a principle here, because that's what the people are not doing in verse 10. If we are willing to endure and not despise the chastening of the Lord, then the promises that we have in verses 11 through 15 will be ours.
And I think that's again, that important. Why is that section is very important? Why Israel, after what they have done, why God is still interested in them? Why? Why is he interested in them? And that was developed into thoughts in some doctrinal teaching in Christianity, saying Israel is done with, the church is everything. And this is really answer to that question. Why? Romans chapter 11, I think it's verse 29 or so, it said that the gifts of God are without repentance. This is what God is doing for himself, I think, as we have heard. It doesn't matter what the nation is responding or not responding. They will respond. But God has a dealing with Israel that have not really done yet. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 answer those questions very, very clearly. And we need to take hold of that, the matter of the dispensation truth, the cutting or God, again, dispensation, God dealing with people in a certain period of time in a certain way. That's the word dispensation. Nothing big about that at all. But the fact of the matter is God still have to deal with Israel in Christianity today, because sometimes you are exposed to listen to preachers who are called fundamental preachers, and they highlight Israel, and we got to go and fix Israel now, and we got to go and help Israel now, and we are so taken up with Jerusalem should be the capital or the embassy. I mean, why are we? Yeah, Jerusalem is going to be the capital, but not today. Every embassy is going to be there, but not today. Let them do whatever they want. Don't worry about it. Don't get involved in it. We need to cut the truth in a straight line. The straight line is this: God gifts, promises to the fathers, going to be fulfilled, because the Lord, the Adonai, the Master, who is true to himself, will accomplish every purpose for his own satisfaction. That's why God will restore them. God will bring them into a land of blessing for his own sake, for his name's sake, because of his promises to the Father, because of his love to them. And that's why even in a little book like the book of Amos, we find also, that's why the teaching, dear saints of God, are very important. The doctrine is very important. Not rejecting the Old Testament or the Word of God is very important. Don't feel that the prophets are too hard to read or to understand. You know what? Here a little, there a little. Here's a conference where you could get the recording back again and listen to it over and over and over again. That's how we all learn, and the Lord will give you understanding. But I just want to underline the fact, the importance of God's dealing with Israel in the time to come.